once again to Christ Central Church. Welcome to those who are joining us online. My name is Joe Crummy, and I'm going to be speaking this morning, and we're going to continue our series from the book of Galatians. And so we've been looking at this letter that a guy named Paul, who became a follower of Jesus, and he went around telling people about Jesus, all that Jesus has done through his death, life, resurrection, and people became followers of Jesus in different locations. And then Paul would write letters to those churches, and as we see in this book of Galatians, after he went away, they had many misconceptions about the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, all that Jesus has done. So Paul's writing to bring correction and instruction to them. So if you've been with us for the last 2 months, I'm going to do a very quick review, and if not, you can go to christcentral.ca and you can follow up on our messages. But we've been learning about the gospel is a proclamation of truth. It's declaring something that is true. So we're seeing back in Caesar's day, if they won a victory, the gospel of that victory would be proclaimed. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's declaring everything that Jesus has done as the Son of God for us through his death, life, resurrection, ascension, and Jesus is coming again. So very briefly, I've had some illustrations just to help with your memory. So many weeks ago, we put some sugar into this zero sugar water, and it exploded, if you remember that. Well, it was a minor explosion, but it was still pretty cool. And it represented this. It represented that if you add something to the gospel, it's no longer the gospel. If you add sugar to that, you can no longer say it's sugar-free. If you add something to the gospel message, as what was happening, it's no longer the gospel. So that was our first week. I think our second week was this. We had our life jacket. I think this is Gideon's favorite one. I remember I threw it to Dawn. This is a life jacket. If you need a life jacket, it means that you need to be rescued. And part of the gospel message, which is very humbling, is we need a rescue. We need a Savior. And Jesus came to save us and to save us from the power of sin. And then I think my favorite one, and Gideon wants me to hit this golf ball every single time, and I keep telling him the same answer, no. But anyways, so we talked about this. Remember we talked about, and if you're in the golf, like you can just be 1 or 2 degrees off. And if you hit like this, and the ball goes this way, you're only like, you know, you're going to hit it 20 feet. 1 or 2 degrees off, you think no big deal. But when you get to be my sons who are all muscle and 20 years old, and they hit it 300 yards, and you're 1 or 2 degrees off, guess what? You are in the next neighborhood. And we talked about little changes in our belief, little things that can seem insignificant over time can lead to disaster. And Paul was addressing that some of these things, if they're not nipped in the bud, it's going to lead to big problems. And then I've got our food. We talked about how who we eat with does our belief and our values line up with our actions. And we saw how for Peter and others, what they believed didn't come out into their actions, and they were being hypocritical, and Paul addressed all of those things. So we've got a new thing this morning, and Gary last week, because we kind of got flipped a bit in our order, just that whole Paul, his story of conversion, Gary's story of conversion, so powerful. Today, we're going to look at this. And how many of you have ever been involved in coaching before? Okay, many hands. How many of you have ever been coached? You've been the recipient. There, so we pretty much cover everything. What is one thing that happens a lot of times with a coach that really frustrates them? That they've gone over a specific order plan, and what does the team not do? They don't follow the plan. So many times. So today, this is my prop for today, and this was not hard because I have all these all over the place. It's a bit like this. You're going to get coached from me this morning. How do I do this without getting my mic and everything else? Anyways. And here's my game plan. All right? The Apostle Paul, it's a bit like this. The passage we're going to look like today, everyone plug your ears for a second. You ready? Turn my mic off for a second. is what we're going to read today. Paul's saying, you started it so well. You started with the game plan, and somehow you've lost the plot. Like, you're not following the game plan. It drives coaches crazy. We've gone over this 100 times. If you would just follow, how many times in the interview afterwards, coach was like, we started so well, we were doing so well, and then somehow we got distracted, we got diverted, if we didn't follow game plan, and we lost. Like, so frustrating. That's Paul. So that's the context if we're going to read right now. And so the words are going to be up on the screen. If you're able to follow along, I'm going to put that right there. I'll put my whistle there. And we won't blow that again, but you'll get the point. Okay? So I'm going to back it up. So remember, I'm going to start at verse 20 of chapter 2, even though we covered that, because it leads into the first 5 verses of chapter 3. So if you're able to read, why don't you read this together with me? Paul writes this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing if it really was for nothing? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? Do you get that coaching feel to what Paul's saying? You've been crucified with Christ. You know, Lord, Christ lives in you. If we could attain righteousness by law, Christ died for nothing. How's this for coach like? You foolish Galatians. Like, who's fooled you? Like, how did you get diverted? Like, you just see Paul's frustration. So we're going to look at today. What is the game plan? What's the game plan? Why was Paul so upset? I mean, that's pretty strong language. If I was to get up here this morning and say, you foolish people. Like, that's pretty strong, isn't it? But folks, these are life and death issues. And Paul's addressing the misconceptions this. Paul's saying, the misconception the Galatians had is they started with their faith in Jesus Christ. They started with the Holy Spirit. And yet, very quickly, they reverted back to their own human essence. And we're going to address some of those things today. So, we're going to look at this in the coaching theme. We're going to pretend that we're running a race. Well, we're not pretending. We are running a race. As followers of Jesus, we're running a race. We read in Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, we're to run the race marked out for us. There's a race that we're running. And if you can think of it this way, here's the starting point. So number one, starting point is this. Paul says, I started with Christ crucified. That's what Paul's saying. He says, you believe what you heard. What did Paul speak to in the first time? He says this, I portrayed to you, I painted the picture, Paul's saying, of Jesus crucified. That is the starting point. So hope everything you even hear this morning in our worship songs, right? We're talking about Jesus, the cross, his blood, his death. Like, that's the starting point. Christ crucified. And Paul's saying, that was the starting point that says this. I spoke to you all about Jesus' work on the cross, that you're saved by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, not by your performance or human efforts. That was the starting point. That's the grace of God. You get what you don't deserve. Those are all the things we did in those early days. Jesus came to rescue us because we could not rescue ourselves. We were separated from God by our sin. We are born into sin. We are stuck in Adam. We need to get in Jesus. We're in the kingdom of darkness. We need to get into the kingdom of light. Jesus said, you must be born again. How can we be born again? Paul said, it was Jesus crucified on the cross, paid the price. He's our righteousness. He's our right standing with God. He was the one who paid the penalty. He paid the debt for our sins, not just for you, for all of humankind. I portrayed to you, I painted the picture, Christ crucified, he's the starting point. Put your faith in Jesus and not in your performance to get right with God. The law, we could never obtain it. We could never observe it. We could never be perfect. According to the law, we need as a Savior, and Jesus brought a rescue plan. He's our Savior. That's the starting point. Christ crucified, we put our faith and hope and trust in Jesus. He gets us access to God. He gets us into God's presence. We know a guy. You ever heard that? We know a guy. It's Jesus. How do we get there? We know a guy. It's Jesus. It's through Jesus. And Paul, you know, just like, that is the starting point. And Paul's saying, and what we're trying to say all through these other messages, we no longer try to get to God based on our performance. We put our hope and faith and trust in Jesus' performance. And he lived the perfect life. He was the perfect one for our sacrifice. We put our faith and hope in Jesus. We're no longer putting our faith in ourselves. Putting our faith in Jesus. And now, Paul's been saying, here are all the benefits when you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus. You're forgiven. You're forgiven of your sins, even though you don't deserve it. The penalty of those sins was put on Jesus. You're forgiven. You've been justified just as if I'd never sinned. We're brought back into right relationship with God. Hallelujah. It's good news. We've been given the Holy Spirit, which we're going to come back to in a moment. It's everything Bromley just talked about at the end of that worship time. We've been given new citizenship. We're now citizens of heaven. We're now citizens of the kingdom of light. We're now given a new identity. We're a new creation in Christ. We are sons of God in Christ. It just goes on and on and on. You now have all the rights and responsibilities of being part of the kingdom of God. That is Christ crucified. That is your starting point. That is the entry point. That is the start of the race. We get to run this race because of Christ crucified. That's a great starting point. It's all a gift. And Paul says, beginning with the Spirit, which we're going to come back to. That is all through faith and trust in Jesus. He gives his Holy Spirit. That's our starting point. Second point is this. Paul says, now you're trying to attain your goal or attaining your goal. So here's a question I have for this one. Do you know that there's a goal in mind? Do you know that you're about obtaining a goal? And the question is, what is that goal? And the word there for attaining your goal in the Greek is this, it's completion. And so what Paul's saying is, you're running a race, and your goal is this. Your goal is to become more like Jesus. Do you know that's your goal? And becoming more like Jesus is actually going to bring glory to God, because we're to glorify God, we're to enjoy God, and we're to be a witness to others. And so a couple years ago, we said this line over and over and over again about formation series. Okay, we are wanting to become more like Jesus, to give God glory, and what? For the sake of others. If you want to help this world be a better place, become more like Jesus. That's the best thing you can do. To be a world changer is to become more like Jesus. And Paul said, as a Christian, that is your goal. And we're going to see how the Holy Spirit helps us in that. But culture has a different definition and a different goal in mind. Culture says this, we're to discover ourselves. We're to realize ourselves. We're to improve ourselves. And how many times have I heard this in the last few years? We are to become the best version of myself. That's a very popular thing. I heard it say over and over again, all kinds of things, and especially come June in graduation speeches. Okay? Follow your heart to become the best version of yourself. But what does that actually mean? We're missing two words. It would make more sense if we said this. Our goal is to become the best version of ourselves in Christ. It's so close, isn't it? It's so close. But the world is this. And this all comes to our identity. So folks, I'm going to use some different words here because they help wrap up identity. Finding our significance. How
many of us want to feel significant? We do, right? Deep down, we're like, I want to be known. I want to make a difference. I want to be counted. I want my life to change. I want to be significant. How many of us want security? I want to know my needs are going to be taken care of. I want to know everything's going to be okay. I want to know I'm in control. I want security. I want to know satisfaction. I can do a lot of things. I want my needs met. I want to be happy. I want to feel pleasure. I want to be satisfied. I want approval. I want acceptance. Folks, those are all the things we're trying to complete in our lives, even though we don't always recognize it up here or in here. But these are the things Paul said. And folks, Christianity is not just kind of believing in Jesus, again, as a head knowledge. This is what we're saying. Following Jesus, all of our identity, all of our significance, all of our security, all of our satisfaction, all of our approval, all of our acceptance is found in Jesus. And yet, as Paul's saying in the Galatians, we're going back to their moral performance, their vocational performance, their relational performance. And folks, in our day and in our culture, our social media, all of our performance, all we are trying to do most of the time is give a good perception of ourselves, and we're comparing ourselves to others. And that's where we're finding our identity, significance, security, satisfaction, approval, acceptance. And when we do that, a couple of things happen. One is, we're doing it in our own thing. A lot of times it's fake. And guess what? You get to control me. Because I'm so concerned about what you think, I'm going to portray me to make you like me. And folks, that's not just, I can do that as a pastor. How much does the congregation like me? How am I going to present myself? How am I going to speak? Are they going to think I'm a good speaker? Are they going to think I'm a good pastor? Are they going to think I'm a good guy? How many pats on the back? Again, folks, nobody escapes from all of that, okay? It's in us. No matter who you are. And Paul's saying, you said it so well, you're like, okay, I'm not going to obtain approval with God for salvation through my own works. I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus. That's a great start. But then this is what happens. In everyday life, we try to please God through our own efforts. Through our moral efforts. How am I doing today? Well, I prayed extra long today. I read the Bible today. Today was a good day. Mm-hmm. But the other 7 days, let's not talk about those other 7 days. And up and down and all around, because we think our approval to God, even though we might say, well, I'm saved, I know, but in everyday life, that's the whole, God loves me so much, he saved me, but he doesn't really like me. And in order for me to get God to like me, I need to do all these different things. And it's the wrong strategy. Paul's saying, you're foolish people. Like, you hit a game plan. Like, you start with Jesus. You stay with Jesus. You start in faith. You keep living by faith, which we're going to look at Abraham here in a couple of weeks as an example. You say, I'm not going to longer put myself on that pedestal of my moral obedience or my performance in my job or academic or achievements or all those performance things, I put them aside for salvation. Paul's saying, you keep putting them aside for daily life. You attain your goal of becoming more like Jesus by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. How you are saved is how you live. Our identity is by a Christ performance, not by performance. My significance, my security, my satisfaction, my approval, my acceptance. We keep finding all of that in Jesus, not just at the starting point, but in every day, every step of the race that we run. I don't know what happened, but something has fooled you. And he's saying, did God give you approval? Did God give you his Holy Spirit? Did God work miracles in that amongst you because of your own performance? Or because you've And the third thing is this, it gets even better. Because Paul's saying, it's not my religion, it's not my religious performance, it's not my self-improvement, it's not making myself become a better version of myself. No, it's becoming more like Jesus. And God knows that we need help, and so he gives us the helper, his Holy Spirit. That's the third point. So I was so encouraged when Dawn came in the worship song and Taylor picked that song and was saying, hey, I feel like God just wants to say to us, we can ask for to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even though we might feel far off or we might feel near. Because God has given us a helper. Do you know that's part of the game plan? Isn't it good news that you're running the race, but you're not running on your own effort and strength? So God just didn't save you and then say, here you go, good luck, I'll see you in heaven. Enjoy the next 50 years on your own. No, he says, I love you so much. And it's my desire for you to help you become like my son Jesus. I'm going to put me in you. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? Do you know, like, if you're a follower of Jesus, there is something supernatural about you. Because your citizenship is in heaven. And guess what? Jesus puts his Holy Spirit in us. Heaven comes to earth and resides in you and in the Spirit. You've been given the Spirit. Paul says, you've been given the Spirit, you received the Spirit, you began in the Spirit. Folks, don't you know? I love what Roman just shared. Like, I kind of knew about citizenship, but I didn't really know the benefits or all the things that were. Do you know this? Do you know that if you become a follower of Christ, as Gary shared last week, Gary saying, like, I knew there was a conversion, there was a change, there was a conviction, because the Holy Spirit was drawing and revealing Jesus over time, leading, guiding. We need God to even know God, and His Holy Spirit brings conviction, His Holy Spirit reveals. You can go sometimes like, man, I've heard about Jesus all my life, but I never saw it before. That's because the Holy Spirit brings revelation. It shows Jesus crucified, and you begin to realize Jesus just didn't die for the sins of the whole world. He died for me. It becomes personal. You take ownership. You realize, oh, my soul, this isn't just for like a general part. This is, yes, it is. He died for the sins of the whole world, but it's for me. You take ownership. You go, I didn't realize it. It was for me. Did you know it was for me? That Jesus died for me. And I receive all of that. And part of receiving salvation is we're born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, one of the most religious people there is, a good man. He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus, how do I be born again? You must be born of the Spirit. And folks, part of our redemption and salvation is Jesus puts the Spirit within us. The Bible says he's a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. Do you know he's a down payment? And Jesus is like, I'm coming back. I got you. I'm going to take you to heaven, but in the meantime, I'm giving you a down payment, a deposit. My Spirit dwells, resides, lives in you. You're branded. Like, we're branded. We're marked. We belong to Jesus. Folks, it's a guarantee. Jesus, I began a good work in you. I'm going to bring it to completion. That's true of every Christian. We're born of the Spirit. We're the Spirit of God in us. And as we see at day of Pentecost, Acts 2, we can be baptized, we can be filled, we can be immersed with the Holy Spirit. We have a down payment, and sometimes it happens at the same time as conversion, and a lot of times it happens later, that we are filled, baptized, immersed with the Holy Spirit. Just as we're baptized in water and we're soaked, we go under the water, we are baptized, we are immersed, we are filled, we are drenched, we have a supernatural experience of the Spirit of God filling us. And we receive this, we receive assurance that we know that we belong to God. That we know that we know that we know that God loves me, that God accepts me, I'm a child of God. And the Holy Spirit gives us that assurance. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness for Jesus. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So a lot of times we live in fear until we're baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then God enables us, God empowers us to be a witness. We're no longer ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, gives us spiritual gifts to build up the body. Folks, we have a helper. Jesus, before he died, John 14, 15, 16, the disciples are scared. Jesus is like, I got to go to the cross. They didn't understand it. I'm leaving you. And they're like, Jesus, where are you going? And he's like, don't worry. I'm leaving you a helper. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. My spirit is coming. It's even better to have the spirit of God's going to live with you. And Jesus is like, where did Jesus go? Well, don't worry. He's in you. And you. And you. And you guys are together. God's spirit is here. And Jesus said, he's going to be your helper, your comforter, your counselor, your teacher, your advocate. He's going to teach you the things of Jesus. He's going to bring conviction. Folks, the race we're running, I won't blow the whistle, but he's like calling a timeout. You began with the spirit. And now you're trying to do things on your own again. It's like you're running the race, like you're forgetting to take a drink. You're forgetting that you've got fuel, that you've been helped. You're trying to do it, and one you're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it. Yeah. No, you've been given a helper. And that helper is with you every single day. And you begin to realize, and Gary was teaching us Wednesday night at our cooking meeting, we're learning how to hear God's voice. We're learning, and we're going to follow this in Galatians, to walk with the Spirit. We're learning to yield to the Holy Spirit. We're learning not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're learning how to hear God's voice through God's Word. We're talking to men yesterday. We're learning how the Holy Spirit says, hey, I don't want you to do that. It might even be permissible, but it's not beneficial. And you tune that ear, Jesus is a good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. Our tendency is this, as Christians, in the Galatians today, our tendency is this, is to neglect, ignore, grieve, and we go back to our efforts. And how many times have I said this in the last several weeks? If we go back to our own efforts, it usually ends in two extremes. Either we do really well, and therefore we're prideful, and we look down on other people, because you're not doing as well as I'm doing. Did you see what they did? No. Why do we do that? Because I'm not doing that, so I feel better about myself. That's pride. And no wonder we try to squish everybody else down. Well, at least I didn't do that. And that's religion, folks. That is bad. Or we're exhausted and we defeat it. We're like, well, I messed up this much. I guess I'm just, I'll hold on till Jesus comes again. That's what all there is at those extremes. Your goal is to become more like Jesus. And God provides His Spirit to help us, let alone He helps us collectively as brothers and sisters in Christ. The last misconception, or I just want to address the misconception here, this is our last point. There's a lot of times in Christianity, with the Galatians, with us, a lot of times if we fail God or we disobey God or something, what we try to do is this. We try to muster up more willpower and we want to try harder. Okay, I messed up this time. Next time, I'm going to try harder to not give in to this temptation. I'm going to try harder to do these things. And the intent might be good. And there are, some people have kind of a stronger willpower than others. So some people can actually kind of pull it off, which makes it even more complicated. Paul's saying this. I'm kind of jumping ahead because I stopped at verse 5, but if we keep going, which we will over the next few weeks, we'll get this listed a bit later. But a lot of times, in order for us to try to be the best version of ourselves and to bring change and all of that, we revert back to our own efforts to control our own life instead of living by faith. And this is the root issue. Again, putting words to some kind of thing that we might not quite understand, but if we stop and take that time out and reflect, here's what we're looking at. And folks, these affect every person on planet Earth. We want comfort. We want control. We want talking about is sometimes as Christians, we can know we're saved, going to heaven, God loves us. And yet in everyday life, we see comfort, control, and approval not in Christ. And that's really, if we're honest, that is a daily and say, you foolish Galatians, like, you know you're saved by grace, faith, trust in Jesus, but you're actually living daily life as if you're not a Christian. And you're trying to find control, comfort, approval, acceptance through your own means. Is that clear? And that's our daily battle as well. And here's antidote to that, and I'm going to give a real example, okay, a real issue. So I'm going to take bitterness as an example. And folks, can I just say this, in light of things that have gone on in our church the last 4 weeks, you might think I'm taking this, can I just say it? For this sermon series, I did a whole outline in the summer, so I'm a bit OCD, and I like a nice outline 4 or 5 months in advance. Not that I have control issues, it's good planning, okay? And the outline for this one had this example, and it might be timely, so I'm going to stick with it even though I was tempted to change it. So if we take something like bitterness, let me just try to flesh that out for us. Okay? This is what we can sometimes do. Or at least this is what I can do. I can say, Lord, would you please take this bitterness from me? And Lord, would you give me strength to forgive? Amen. And that can sound like a really holy prayer. Lord, just take it from me. Antidote is not, Lord, take it from me. The antidote is this. Holy Spirit, help me to apply the gospel in this situation. Because a lot of times, and Tim Keller does a magnificent job of fleshing this out, a lot of times that comfort, control, acceptance, approval, they become our gods. They become idols. And when they get blocked, I've had this one. Let me give you, like, this is a real life example, Joe Cremate, okay? I'm wired to be a people pleaser, okay? I know that, and it can be a really good thing. Joe's a good people person, yay! That's a good thing. It can also be, you can control me because I'm trying to please you. And that doesn't work well as a pastor, leader, sometimes, because a lot of times I gotta say tough stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to say it because then they might not like me. How's that for just being honest? So, out of approval, comfort, control, sometimes I've had to say tough things in love, and people don't like me, and I don't like it when they don't like me, and I can get bitter at people because they have said things about me that I have no control over, that hurt my reputation. And all of a sudden, I'm bitter towards them. Why? Because they're blocking my goal of control, comfort, approval, acceptance. You follow me on that? And you can take that for a lot of different things. So I can say, Lord, please take this bitterness from me. Or I can come back to the starting point and say, how do I apply the gospel in this situation? And what I need to do is this. I need to go, here's the reality. This is truth. My comfort is found in Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's closer than a brother. He's interceding at the Father's right hand right now. My security is found in Jesus. Significance is found in Jesus. My satisfaction is found in Jesus. My approval is found in Jesus. My acceptance is found in Jesus. My purpose in life is found in Jesus. So I've got to back down from all these idols, and I've got to turn from them and say, Jesus, I have to repent of comfort and approval and people-pleasing and seeking attention. All that. It's wrong. That's not my Lord. Jesus, you're my Lord. And I need to repent from, I'm sorry, God, that I forgot my citizenship. I forgot that you died on the cross for me. I forgot that I'm crucified with Christ. And the old, you no longer live, but now Christ lives in me. And all of a sudden, kind of Bromley singing that song, so all of a sudden began to rise up to the truth and the reality of, and no offense, but I don't really need your approval. And then it goes beyond that. I've received mercy. I don't deserve any of this. But I've received mercy. Therefore, Jesus said to his disciples, you freely receive, you can freely give. And I don't deserve God's mercy. I don't deserve God's forgiveness. I don't deserve sonship, citizenship. I don't deserve God's love, acceptance, heaven. I don't. It's a gift. Therefore, I can give forgiveness. I can give mercy. I can give grace. And folks, when we apply the gospel, which the Holy Spirit helps us to do, that bitterness loses its grip. It begins to wither. It loses its power over us. Folks, we have to do that over and over again. All kinds of things. So in closing, Paul's saying this. Started it so well. Remember the game plan? Remember? You start it with the Spirit. You start it by faith and trust in Jesus Christ and not your performance. Somehow you got off track and you're like, all those things of identity, approval, acceptance, significance, satisfaction, security, all that, you're going back to your human effort. Paul saying, I'm calling a timeout. Stop. I want to get you back to off that misconception of your own human effort for all those things and back to the game plan. You've been given a helper. You're going to complete your goal of becoming more like Jesus, not on your own effort, but by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. I put you in a church family to help you as well. And all of those major things of comfort, control, approval, you got to keep coming back to the gospel and say, I find you in Christ Jesus. So we sometimes say things. And it sounds cliche, but it's not. So many times we end a conversation by saying this, I trust in God's sovereignty and God's plan. And it sounds cliche, it sounds like it isn't. It's saying everything's out of control, but I trust that he's still in control. So I don't need to have control. He has control. God can bring me comfort. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's our burden bearer. I can find my comfort in Jesus, even if circumstances around me are good. I can find my security and my hope in Jesus, not in these functional saviors of me trying to control everything. It's exhausting. It doesn't work. We start with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So every day we live with the gospel. We have a want to stand. Let's just ask for God's help in this. I'm going to be Coach Crummy this morning and say, friends, family, do you know the game plan? Are you following the game plan? There might even be some here this morning. You're not even part of the team yet. And I say, Jesus has died in order to make you part of his team. And there's a game plan. Folks, we're in this together. We were just sharing with the men yesterday. We need each other. And we have teammates. He's given us the help of the Holy Spirit, but he's given us each other to help need honesty to be able to say, Joe, like, you're really doing that out of maybe you're trying to control the situation, you're trying to find your comfort, you're trying to find your satisfaction in something outside of Jesus. We need honesty to be able to say that to my neighbor, to help my neighbor. So I'm going to pray. And if you want, as Gary said earlier, we just put our hands up because it's just a, really, it's a sign of surrender, it's a sign of like, Jesus, I got nothing besides you. I receive. We receive the gift. We receive. The Lord Jesus, we just pray today. We start by just thanking you again for your great sacrifice that you obeyed your Father. You came to planet Earth. You lived a perfect life. You fulfilled the law. And yet you willingly, as an innocent man, went to the cross. And you became sin for us. You took on the wrath of God. All the rights and privileges of heaven. And then we pray, Lord, humbly, Lord, for us, Lord, as a church, Lord, would you help us to live in the good of all that you have accomplished, Lord? Would you remind us of our identity? Would you remind us of what it is that we have received grace and mercy, we can give grace and mercy? And would you help us, Lord, to find our comfort? Help us to run this race. And would you help us to become complete, to become whole in Christ? Lord, we pray for your glory, for the sake of others, Lord, for the good of those around us, Lord. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's worship God together. And again, the song is really, we get to proclaim in Christ alone.